Welcome to That's Afrotastic. I'm your host, Kunle, and it's so wonderful to have you here. That's Afrotastic is a welcoming space where I document my journey of cooking, learning new recipes, as well as self-development. So today's episode is special because we have a new guest speaker, and I would like to introduce her to the show. So I would like to warmly welcome Ashley Lau, and we'll just have a brief background with her. So her role in the community is an educator, and her background is in food science and nutrition. She's worked in the food industry as well. Ashley's passion is promoting sustainability, and she's also had extensive traveling experience cooking in Marrakesh, Morocco to Milan. She's also visited the coffee plantation fields in Taiwan to walking on the singing sand dunes in Gansu, China. She's passionate about sustainable food designs in every corner of the world. So without further ado, let's warmly welcome Ashley Lau to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kunle. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the show,
great.
Ashley.
Great. I love this.
And yeah. Lovely weather as well, too.
It is too. Yep.
So we'll first start off with the first question is, so Ashley, tell us what sparked your interest in making your own kombucha?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So kombucha is one of my sustainability food design passions. And it all started in just last year, 2018. And my former housemate, who I lived with in Canberra, and now I'm in Melbourne, suggested a workshop in the Canberra Environmental Centre adjacent to ANU. So for those of you who don't know ANU, it's the Australian National University, and it's quite renowned for its research centre. So when I checked it out, I thought it'd be great to bring this skills back to my classroom, because at the time I was teaching a subject called sustainable food design, which I co-wrote with a colleague at the time. And I wanted to share this technique with my students, this vision of sustainability. And so kombucha is a type of, obviously it's a type of food preservation technique. And just using kombucha as a base, we can create different flavors using fruits. So it could be seasonal fruits. Kombucha is also a great alternative to non-alcoholic beverages. And so it's fizzy, it's low in sugar, and it's great for, you know, children to drink, or people who are trying to stay dry, or people who just enjoy non-alcoholic beverages and fizzy drinks, but without the guilty pleasure of having high sugar content. So that's how I got started.
Oh, sounds lovely. Oh, I'm even getting thirsty myself. And it's amazing that it started back in when you were teaching and learning in the workshop.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So we did you knew about kombucha before and like had an interest in that before?
And so before I attended the workshop, kombucha was something I've heard of. People have told me to try it, and I saw it in the supermarket, but it wasn't widely available. Okay. And I saw it in some farmer's market in Canberra. And I tried it. It was a bit tangy. It's a bit tarty. Some of it was a bit sour for my liking. But that was what it was. So, and then I attended the workshop, and my journey began there.
Yeah, there are some that I've tried, and it was a bit too sweet for my liking. Mm. So, yeah, I do agree with you. Like, there are some that have different taste profiles, and they're quite different.
Yeah, and I think because everybody, you know, there's everybody enjoys different tastes, so there is a market for those people too.
Yeah, yep. That's a really good thing you've pointed out. You mentioned about the kombucha being the base and making different flavors based on seasonality. I was also interested to know that were there any challenges along the way, like creating the flavors or just the overall making of kombucha?
Yeah, so with making kombucha, you how it starts is that you need a SCOBY. SCOBY is spelled S-C-O-B-Y, and that stands for starter culture of bacteria and yeast. So basically you've got a bacteria and you've got yeast, and they combine together, so there's a, it's like a white cloudy thing, and it sits in the in a big jar, and it helps you to ferment your medium, which is your sweetened tea. So a lot of people say, okay, what's in kombucha? So it's basically got a bit of bacteria, yeast, water, sugar, and tea. And with that as a base, what we call base is just something basic to start. It's like bread. So you can put some jam and you put some butter on top, anything you like. So out my flavors tends to be seasonal fruits that you can get from the supermarket, whatever that's available there. I've used a lot of different things. I've experimented, like strawberry and ginger, Granny Smith apple. I've tried passion fruit. I've tried kiwi and ginger. So some of the challenges could be that because kombucha isn't it's using bacteria and yeast, so you don't want to introduce an ingredient for your flavoring that compromises the pH or the acidity level of the medium of the kombucha, because it will affect the SCOBY and how it brews in that medium over time. So you don't really want to, so you've got to do some research basically.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you pointed out about the pH, because that's something I never really thought about when people were making the kombucha. And would you say that has a influence in the flavor of the kombucha?
Yes, I'll give you an example. I tried strawberry and ginger, and whilst that looked really appealing, it was nice and gold, that rosy red from the strawberry.
Yeah.
But the ginger had just taken that the taste, the overall taste, to a very sort of sour taste, and that really didn't feel quite right with the strawberries being sweet. So I could tell that the overall products, the overall outcome, affected the condition of how the SCOBY was thriving in the kombucha. So I experimented that, and I'm trying something different. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about the strawberry and ginger. So how do you, what's your inspiration in terms of learning new flavors and creating new flavors?
Most of the time it's because the ideas come about because I like to introduce I like having ginger as something to attach to, because it's good for at winter time where we're currently at now. The weather is so cold. Sometimes we get a cold or we get a flu, and we think of lemon and ginger. Okay, lemon and ginger is a great combo. How about I take that ginger out and I take it to another seasonal fruit? What would that be like? So that's how I came up with that idea. So it's very much weather-based, or could be season-based. It could be maybe I have a cold, or maybe my friends maybe the workplace that I'm in, there's a lot of sickness, and I thought, okay, what can maybe something I can try with ginger. If it's summertime, maybe I can try it fixed with, grapes, or I can try it with something else. It's very weather based. Yeah.
That sounds really exciting, which leads me to my next question. Tell us about the highlights about making kombucha.
Yeah, so promoting well-being and sustainability, that's my passion. And one of the highlights of me doing this kombucha journey so far, I mean, it's a very young journey, when I had my first tutorial session with a friend of mine who was interested in brewing her own kombucha. So she came to my space to obtain my SCOBY, so get some SCOBY from me. And then I explained to her more about how to take care of the SCOBY, care instructions, how to brew the kombucha. This is the way how I did it, and just tips, safety tips, and other tips to look out for, signs to look out for when the SCOBY is ready, when the kombucha is ready, and that kind of thing. So it was a really good conversation, and that time we communicated a lot of ideas about, okay, food sustainability, how can we further promote that? Can we talk about food waste? Can we, there's a lot of conversations that you can get out of just talking about sustainability, which I think kombucha helps me to vessel that out. Yeah.
Mm. So it brings me to my like next question. What are your top two values that are important to you?
Yeah. So there are two. One of them is belonging. The other one's meaningful. Belonging is something that I can create a space where I become a maker of a product to which I appreciate the product, and some people do as well. So I like to share those products or those ideas with those people who appreciate. Number two is meaningful, because it's meaningful as it's sustainable, it's promoting sustainability, and I think that that adds to a lot of value to what I'm doing. And if I can teach that in the classroom, and I'm sure that this is also being touched on at tertiary levels as well, but food preservation is always being touched on in secondary year levels in food studies, then I think that this is a good way to increase
produce and promoting seasonality. There's a lot about that, and we can tie that into farmers market, and we talk about local produce. You know, there's a lot about that we can expand our conversation, so I think that's very valuable.
Yeah, I really resonate with the value belonging, especially when we tie into our communities, and you've mentioned the farmers markets, and then when you meet people that you see regularly, it fosters a sense of belonging in that community, which is so powerful and lovely.
Yeah.
And then the last question is, what advice would you give someone wanting to share their passion into the community?
Yeah, I recommend them to find a kombucha workshop if they have some. They have in the BD. I know some.
The Langway Learning Center have some. There are other organizations that do workshops. So I recommend those people to look them up and sign themselves up for one. So that way you can get a good idea of how to, and perhaps you can also buy the SCOBY, or if they give you a SCOBY. So when I attended my session in Canberra, the teacher, and she gave us her SCOBY. So I have something that she had. So it was good because it grows and it multiplies. So I recommend those people to attend a workshop. If not, I can always help. I can always help those people. My my Instagram is at Lisa Graham, so it's LeeHsagram. So you can always PM me, and I can always give you my bit of my SCOBY and give you a little tutorial on how to take care of it. So that's where I recommend those people to start.
Oh, great question. I was just about to ask, how can people reach you? So just to everyone, you can just reach Ashley with her Instagram if you have any questions or interests with regard to her kombucha. And thank you so much once again to come to in today's podcast.
Thank you. And coming up in sometime in November, I'll be having a market stall opportunity. So if you just hit me up on Instagram, you might find more details as to where and when exactly that will happen, and I'll be having some of my kombucha on sale there.
Yeah, so I encourage everyone to visit the store. It's the area is such a lovely place. It's such a peaceful atmosphere, and you can enjoy Ashley's different flavors of the kombucha.
Thank you very much.
All right. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode.